July 28th, 2013, Newtown, Connecticut. 50-year-old Robert Hoagie Hoagland is last seen mowing the lawn outside his house, but the following day, he fails to pick up his wife Lori at the airport as scheduled. When Lori returns home, she discovers that her husband is missing and that his vehicle and all of his personal possessions have been left behind. Investigators explore the possibility that Hoagie's disappearance might be connected to his son's drug addiction issues and a recent confrontation he had with some criminal associates. However, no evidence of foul play can be found, and Hoagie remains a missing person. After that, the trail went cold. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our latest episode of The Trail Went Cold. I'm your host, Robin Warder, and we've got a pretty baffling missing persons case to cover today. The 2013 disappearance of Robert Hoagland. It was first suggested to me about a year ago by a listener named Wally, and I hadn't really delved into it until I recently watched an episode about this story on the true crime show Disappeared. This is one of those frustrating cold cases in which a person just vanished from their home without a trace, and there's no evidence to suggest what happened to them. On one hand, the victim, who went by the nickname Hoagie, had been dealing with some issues involving his son's drug addiction, and recently confronted some people who had allegedly stolen some laptops from him, but investigators could not find any evidence that any of these people were involved, or that a crime had even taken place. On the other hand, there was one previous incident from years earlier where Hoagie walked away from his family for 3 weeks before he resurfaced. In most unsolved missing persons cases, it seems very unlikely that the victim took off voluntarily, but since Hoagie had done so before, this theory cannot be completely discounted. But if Hoagie disappeared on his own, he pretty much left everything behind. This case is further complicated by the fact that Hoagie lived in the Sandy Hook section of Newtown, Connecticut, and went missing only 7 months after the tragic shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School, so sadly, there are some pretty ridiculous conspiracy theories online. Overall, there just isn't any theory which makes 100% complete sense, which is why this is one of the more puzzling missing persons cases of recent years. Anyway, before we get started, just a quick reminder that The Trail Went Cold is a weekly podcast, which is currently available for download on several platforms, including iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and Spotify. So if you like this podcast, be sure to subscribe to it, and please leave us a rating or review on any of those sites to help spread the word and garner us more exposure. The Trail Went Cold is on Patreon, so if you would like to learn how to support the show, please visit our page at patreon.com/thetrailwentcold. For as little as $1 a month, you can garner access to exclusive rewards, which may include stickers and thank you cards, early access to episodes, and bonus content. So with all that out of the way, let us now delve into the unsolved disappearance of Robert Hoagland. Our story begins in Newtown, Connecticut in 2013. Our central figure is 50-year-old Robert Hoagland, who is referred to by his family and friends by his nickname, Hoagie. Hoagie lives on Glen Road in the Sandy Hook section of town with his wife Lori, and the couple have been married for 25 years. They originally met while training as chefs at the Culinary Institute of America and have 3 adult sons, Chris, Max, and Sam. Lori currently works as a culinary arts teacher at Newtown High School, but while Hoagie had spent years working as a chef, he became disillusioned with the profession because the long hours kept him away from his family. As a result, he decided to change fields and became a self-employed real estate appraiser and in order to earn additional income, he recently started moonlighting as a clerk at a friend's law firm. The Hoaglands' biggest issue involves their 23-year-old middle son, Max, who has had a history of struggles with drug addiction, numerous stints in rehab, and brushes with the law. For a while, Max had been living with his grandmother, but after she could not deal with his issues any longer, he moved in with his parents. Hoagie and Lori are determined to help their son battle his addiction, and are hoping to take him on a hiking trip on the Appalachian Trail sometime during the summer. At the beginning of July, Lori left on a 17-day trip to Turkey with a friend of hers, and stayed in constant email contact with her husband. However, at one point during her trip, Lori received a very apologetic email from Hoagie, who informed her that two of her laptop computers had been stolen. Hoagie was paranoid that Max might try to sell the laptops to buy drugs, so he locked them inside Lori's Volkswagen Golf and locked the vehicle inside the garage. But while Hoagie was sleeping, Max managed to steal the keys and drive off in the car with the laptops. Hoagie seemed very regretful about the incident and tried to assure Lori he would get the computers back. Even though the family had instituted a zero-tolerance policy when Max moved into the house, it was apparent that Hoagie just could not bring himself to kick his son out. On July the 27th, Lori emailed Hoagie and asked him to pick her up at John F. Kennedy International Airport in New York City when her flight arrived 2 days later. Even though Hoagie never replied to her email, Lori had no reason to believe he wouldn't be there, and she would later learn from friends that Hoagie had mentioned he was planning to pick her up. Lori's flight arrived at around 4 p.m. on July the 29th, but Hoagie was not at the airport. She repeatedly called and texted Hoagie's cell phone and tried calling him at their home phone, but received no answer. When 2 hours passed and Hoagie still had not shown up, Lori took a cab to her stepsister's home in Brooklyn. She tried calling everyone she knew to see if they had heard from Hoagie, and concern grew when she learned that he had not shown up to work at the law firm that morning and never responded to any of their phone calls. So Lori decided to call the Newtown Police Department to officially report her husband missing. The police put out a notice for the Volkswagen Golf, and later that evening, they received a hit in the city of Bridgeport, located 20 miles southwest of Newtown. An officer discovered the vehicle in a run-down, high-crime area of the city, known for drugs and prostitution, and even though there were no trespassing signs, Max was sitting in the driver's seat. When questioned by the officer, Max admitted to being in the area to buy drugs, and he would be arrested for third-degree criminal trespass. Max claimed that he had his family's permission to borrow the Golf, but Lori told the police this was not true, so he was held on a $2,500 bond and questioned about his father's disappearance. Max claimed that he last saw Hoagie on the morning of July 28th, when his father stepped out to grab some bagels for breakfast. After they ate together, Hoagie spent the next few hours paying some bills and playing online Scrabble before he went out to mow the lawn sometime around 11 a.m. Max then said he told Hoagie he was going out for a while and left in the Golf, but when he returned home that night, his father was gone. Max tried calling Hoagie on his cell phone a number of times, but received no answer, and said that he did not see Hoagie at all before he drove the Golf to Bridgeport on the evening of July 29th. Lori finally returned to Newtown on July the 30th, and was surprised to discover that Hoagie's second vehicle, a Mini Cooper, was still parked at the residence. While Hoagie's wallet could not be found, Lori discovered a number of his personal items inside the residence, including his cell phone, passport, and some medication he was taking for high blood pressure. A pair of loafers Hoagie always wore when he went out had been left behind, and his pair of sneakers were found inside the garage next to the lawnmower. His white t-shirt and khaki shorts were in the laundry, which seemed to suggest that Hoagie had gone inside and changed after he finished mowing the lawn. Investigators would confirm Max's story about his father going out to buy bagels on the morning of July 28th, as witnesses placed him at a local bagel shop. Security cameras also captured Hoagie getting gas at a mobile station at 6:45 a.m., and he also went inside to purchase a map of the eastern United States. While this is the last documented sighting of Hoagie, a neighbor would also confirm having seen him mowing the lawn and speaking with Max later that morning, but no one could figure out what happened to him afterward. Hoagie's friends and family started distributing missing persons flyers to generate publicity about his disappearance. The numerous wooded areas surrounding Sandy Hook were extensively searched by volunteers and police search dogs, but failed to turn up any trace of Hoagie. Since he had been planning to hike on the Appalachian Trail in the near future, the National Park Service rangers were informed about his disappearance. The police used sonar to search nearby bodies of water, including Lake Zor and the Housatonic River, but found nothing. At the outset, Lori was hoping that her husband had taken off voluntarily and would eventually resurface, as a situation like that had occurred before. In 1994, the Hoaglands had decided to take their children and move to California, even though they had no jobs lined up. It took Hoagie a while to find employment, before he finally got a job as a chef at a country club. One day, Hoagie left to work his shift, but never returned home, and Lori was soon surprised to discover that he had actually been let go from his job 2 days earlier. Hoagie would be missing for the next 3 weeks, before he finally resurfaced, claiming that he was so ashamed of being unable to support his family that he decided to take off, and was planning to send them money once he found employment again. The family eventually moved back to Connecticut, but there was speculation that Hoagie's inability to help his son maintain his sobriety might have caused him to feel so ashamed that he ran away again. In the week prior to his disappearance, Hoagie had told a friend that he was unhappy with his job at the law firm and might quit, as it was apparent that the pressures of handling Max's situation while working two jobs was getting to him. A forensic search of Hoagie's personal computer showed that in the month before he went missing, a program had been installed which was designed to clear out all traces of his internet history. When Hoagie's work computer at the law firm was checked, it turned out that he had performed a search on a specific address in Rhode Island multiple times, but the investigation into this address turned out to be a dead end. It would also turn out that on July the 25th, Hoagie had withdrawn $600 from his bank account. Since the amount was too large to withdraw from an automatic teller machine, surveillance cameras captured Hoagie walking into a local Union Saving Bank to collect the money. The $600 has still never been accounted for, but Hoagie also left behind some cash inside his personal safe at his house. Lori's concern grew on August the 6th, when she discovered that Hoagie's wallet, along with the keys to his Mini Cooper, were underneath a doll on a chair inside their bedroom. Lori suspected that Hoagie had hidden the items there in order to prevent Max from stealing them, but now that it was confirmed that he did not have his wallet, Lori was no longer inclined to believe that her husband took off voluntarily and feared that he had been abducted. So investigators attempted to retrace Hoagie's movements involving the laptop computers, which Hoagie had detailed during his emails to Lori in the days before he went missing. After Max drove off in the Golf, he told his father he went to an abandoned factory in Bridgeport, located near where he was arrested for trespassing. Max always frequented this area in order to strip metal off the buildings and sell it for drug money, and claimed that he went there to get drugs from two criminal associates of his. However, he did not want to leave the laptops inside the car for fear they might get stolen, so he decided to hide them inside one of the buildings. Max then went to see these associates, but when he returned, he said the laptops were gone. When Hoagie found out about this, Max took his father to the factory, and Hoagie would confront Max's two associates about the laptops while carrying a lead pipe for protection. But they denied stealing the computers, and Hoagie and Max left without any violence taking place. Police were able to track down and question these two men, but they denied any knowledge of Hoagie's disappearance, and no evidence could be found to implicate them. One of the men owned a van, but a forensic search turned up nothing, and a search of the abandoned factory in Bridgeport with cadaver dogs also came up empty. A forensic search was also performed of the Volkswagen Golf Max had been driving, but failed to uncover any evidence. Max also passed a polygraph test, and was asked to provide a written statement to investigators. It was then turned over to the FBI for statement analysis, and they concluded that he was likely being truthful. While Max was initially considered a person of interest, the authorities no longer believe that to be the case, and have stated that they have no reason to believe he had any knowledge or involvement in his father's disappearance. He wound up pleading guilty to the trespassing charge and received an unconditional discharge before he was released from jail. Over the course of the next year, police would investigate numerous reported sightings of Hoagie. In September, eyewitnesses saw a man with a backpack matching Hoagie's description walking down Rhode Island Route 165 in an area near the Connecticut state line, but police were unable to locate him. On January the 20th, 2014, a man resembling Hoagie was seen in a thrift store in the town of Brookfield, located just 8 miles northwest of Newtown, and he reportedly climbed into a car with New York license plates when he left. Investigators were able to find this man on the store's security camera footage, but the footage was not clear enough to conclusively identify him as Hoagie, though his friends and family do not believe it was him. In July of 2014, Hoagie was seen entering the Putnam County Correctional Facility, located in the town of Carmel, New York. Once again, there was surveillance footage which showed a man entering the jail before leaving 2 minutes later, but it wasn't clear enough to determine if he was Hoagie. At the time, the Hoaglands' oldest son, Chris, was working in the tourism industry in South Carolina, but his father's disappearance prompted him to relocate to Newtown in order to take over Hoagie's responsibilities. Only a few weeks after Hoagie went missing, his youngest son, Sam, who was attending Western Connecticut State University, was forced to leave for Amsterdam in order to study his final semester abroad. In May of 2016, the case would be featured on an episode of Disappeared titled A Family Man, and while Max was not interviewed during the episode, Lori revealed that he was now clean and working a job 40 minutes outside of Newtown. The family have openly expressed their belief that Hoagie was a victim of foul play and did not run away voluntarily. But the authorities do not believe there is any conclusive evidence to support either theory. But after more than 6 years, there are still no answers about what actually happened to Robert Hoagland. So I guess you could say, the trail went cold. So before we explore this case any further, I guess we have to address the elephant in the room. The fact that Robert Hoagland just happened to go missing from Sandy Hook. As you probably know, his disappearance took place only 7 months after one of the worst mass shootings in the history of the United States, when an armed gunman entered Sandy Hook Elementary School and murdered 26 people, 20 of whom were small children. Ordinarily, there shouldn't be any reason to believe these two events are connected, but unfortunately, the problem is that the internet exists, and it can be an awful place. In the years since the tragedy, conspiracy theorists have pushed forward the idea that the shooting was a completely staged false flag operation where the victims were nothing more than actors, and some of these conspiracy theorists have gone so far as to harass and threaten the families of these murdered children. Since Robert Hoagland's disappearance has become embroiled in this mess, his family have been forced to read a number of crazy conspiracy theories online, such as that he was a witness who knew the entire shooting was a hoax, so he was murdered to prevent him from talking, or that he was directly involved in the shooting himself. Well, my personal thoughts on these theories are no, just no. Anyway, let's move on and resume with the logic-based portion of this podcast. However, I do have to acknowledge that for a town of less than 30,000 people, it's pretty crazy how many infamous crimes have occurred in Newtown. In addition to the Sandy Hook shooting, there are no less than 4 separate cases from the 1980s in which women were murdered or suspected to have been murdered by their husbands. Robert Durst's wife, Kathleen McCormack Durst, was last seen at a friend's dinner party in Newtown before she went missing in 1982, and of course, I'm sure many of you are familiar with that case from The Jinx. You also might be familiar with the Woodchipper murder from 1986, where Newtown resident Tala Crafts was murdered by her husband before her body was run through a woodchipper. In 1984, a woman named Elizabeth Heath went missing before her remains were found beneath the flooring of a Newtown barn 16 years later, and her husband was subsequently convicted of her murder. And in 1987, another Newtown woman named Regina Brown vanished, and though her body has never been found, her estranged husband has always been the prime suspect. And now we have the Newtown disappearance of Robert Hoagley Hoagland, though unlike those other cases, no one really has much of a concrete idea what happened. Ironically enough, considering that one theory involves Robert Hoagland disappearing voluntarily to start a new life, I've sometimes seen this case confused with the disappearance of another man named Richard Hoagland, who did exactly that. In 1993, Richard Hoagland was a married man with two sons, who left his home in Indianapolis after saying he was going to the hospital, but then vanished. He was eventually declared legally dead, but in 2016, he was discovered to be alive and living under a new name with a new wife and son in Florida after he stole the identity of a deceased drowning victim. I don't believe Richard ever really provided any explanation for his actions besides quote-unquote family issues with his wife and children. So I guess there's always hope that Robert Hoagland might turn up alive under a new identity someday, but there's a big difference between being able to stage your own disappearance in 1993 and 2013. Unless he's been living as a transient with no fixed address, or he managed to steal someone else's identity, it's really hard to imagine that Hoagie has been able to live off the radar without leaving any paper trail for the past 6 years. I think the main reason this theory has some traction in this case is because Hoagie had once walked away from his family and disappeared voluntarily when issues in his personal life became too much to handle. But again, this took place back in 1994, and Hoagie did resurface after only 3 weeks. The main reason Hoagie took off the first time is because of his shame about being unable to hold down a job and provide for his family, so it's possible that Hoagie could have felt similar shame about being unable to help his son maintain his sobriety. As you recall, Max stole two of the family's laptops in an apparent attempt to sell them for drug money, and Hoagie sounded very regretful about allowing that to happen when he emailed Lori about the incident while she was in Turkey. And Hoagie had also indicated that he was not too happy at his job working as a clerk at a law firm, and it seems like he only took the position because he wasn't making enough money as a self-employed real estate appraiser. This was a guy who had aspired to be a chef, but changed careers because it kept him away from his family too much, so perhaps he was suffering from some sort of midlife crisis. Interestingly enough, I've also read that Hoagie and Lori were once separated for 2 years, though I was unable to find any specific details about when or why this happened. But Lori said they had reconciled and were planning their retirements together. There are definitely things which took place before Hoagie's disappearance which could be seen as signs that he was planning to run off. He purchased a map at the gas station on the morning he went missing. He withdrew $600 from his bank account, which has never been accounted for, and he installed a program on his computer to erase his internet search history. But these details could be nothing more than red herrings, which suddenly took on greater significance when Hoagie vanished. I mean, Hoagie's friends and family have been quick to dismiss the significance of the map, as he apparently never used GPS and bought maps so frequently that he had a large collection of them. There is actually a logical explanation for why Hoagie would be purchasing a map on that particular morning, as he had been planning to take his son on a hike on the Appalachian Trail later that summer. He seemed to think this would be good for Max's addiction issues, as being out in the woods many miles from civilization would keep him away from the opportunity to purchase drugs. Now, one piece of information I could not find is what actually happened to this map. They were able to verify that he purchased it from the security footage, but it's unclear if the map was found inside his house or vehicle after he went missing. Of course, if Hoagie already had a large collection of maps, it would probably be hard to determine if this particular map was among them, but if it was already accounted for, then it likely has no relevance to this case. Now, the $600 Hoagie withdrew 3 days before he vanished is a bit more interesting. But if he was planning to run away, why only withdraw that amount of money when there were still thousands of dollars left in his account? And why also leave behind all the additional cash he had stored inside the safe at his house? $600 might be a lot of cash to withdraw all at once, but it's not like you could live on it for very long. I know the best case scenario for Hoagie's family is that he disappeared voluntarily to start a new life, because at least that would mean he's still alive somewhere. But I just don't see how that's possible, since it seems like he left virtually everything behind. The one detail which really points to an involuntary disappearance is the fact that Hoagie's blood pressure medication was left behind. Even if he wanted to go off and live life as a transient, he would still likely run into some serious health issues without the medication. We've had a couple of eyewitness sightings of Hoagie at various locations over the years, but I'm sure I don't have to remind you that eyewitness sightings in missing persons cases are notoriously unreliable. On the Disappeared episode, they showed security camera footage of a man resembling Hoagie entering a thrift store in Brookfield, but they also played it side by side with the footage of Hoagie entering the gas station on the morning he went missing. One of Hoagie's friends pointed out that both men seem to have distinctly different walks, which is why he doesn't believe the guy from the thrift store was him. A lot has also been made of the fact that the loafers which Hoagie usually wore when he went out in public were still at the house, and his sneakers were inside the garage, but it's unclear if any other pairs of shoes were missing. Unless Hoagie decided to leave while barefoot, then this would lend credence to the idea of him being taken by force. But of course, if Hoagie just wanted to go somewhere to commit suicide, then perhaps this might explain why he didn't bother to put any shoes on. And that's an alternate explanation which makes more sense than Hoagie running off. He lived in a town surrounded by a lot of wooded areas, so if Hoagie just couldn't handle the issues in his personal life anymore, he may have just wandered off somewhere remote to take his own life. I know that the wooded areas were extensively searched, but there are countless examples of human remains being missed during the initial search efforts for a missing person before they were subsequently discovered years later. I really can't discount the possibility that Max's addiction issues and Hoagie's failure to keep him out of trouble while Laurie was away on vacation may have been the breaking point which made him contemplate suicide. If there's one part of the story which has always seemed pretty off to me, it's the fact that Hoagie never replied to Laurie's email where she asked him to pick her up at JFK Airport. The email was sent the day before Hoagie went missing, and while you could assume that perhaps he didn't get a chance to see it before he disappeared, Hoagie did apparently tell friends that he was planning to pick up Laurie. So if he received the email, why didn't he at least give Laurie a quick reply to confirm that he was going to be there? The tone of his final emails made it sound like Hoagie felt really ashamed of himself for allowing Max to steal the laptops, and this is a guy who once ran off for 3 weeks because he could not bear to tell his family that he had lost his job. However, the last time Hoagie was confirmed to be alive, he was seen mowing the lawn, and the fact that he put the lawnmower away and placed his t-shirt and shorts in the laundry seems to indicate that he finished the job before he went missing. Laurie said that whenever she left on a trip, it was common practice for her husband to make the house as neat and immaculate as possible before she arrived home, which would explain why he decided to mow the lawn. When you couple in the fact that Hoagie purchased a map earlier that morning, on the surface, these do not seem like the actions of a man who is planning to commit suicide. But the problem is that you can never really put yourself into the head of someone who's made the decision to take their own life and use regular logic to explain their actions. Of course, the only alternate theory is that Hoagie was abducted and became the victim of foul play. If there was no one who had a motive to harm Hoagie, that would be one thing, but this was only a few days removed from him confronting two of his son's criminal associates at an abandoned factory in Bridgeport over the disappearance of the laptops. Even though he was carrying a lead pipe when this happened, Hoagie explained in his emails that he never intended to inflict violence on these guys. He just wanted to give them the impression that he was capable of that. But even after all this, these guys never admitted to stealing the laptops, and they were never recovered. It's tempting to believe they decided to show up at Hoagie's house a few days later in order to exact revenge, but the problem is that there's just no evidence that any foul play or violence took place there. There were no signs of struggle or forced entry at the Hoagland residence, and nothing appeared to be stolen. These guys from Bridgeport were allegedly involved in drugs, so if they went to the residence, you'd think they wouldn't pass up the opportunity to help themselves to any valuables they could find. The police also thoroughly questioned them and found no evidence to suggest they were involved. In order to remove Hoagie's body, they would have needed a vehicle, but a forensic search of a van one of these men owned turned up nothing. All that being said, I wouldn't rule out the possibility that Max's drug addiction did play a role in Hoagie's disappearance, but whatever happened did not involve these two particular guys. While it's easy to suspect that Max himself was responsible, he was thoroughly investigated, and from what I gathered, police seemed satisfied that he wasn't involved and was being truthful about sharing everything he knew. But even though Max's two brothers have been front and center while publicizing their father's disappearance, as far as I can tell, Max has never given any interviews with the media. He also did not appear on the Disappeared episode, though his mother mentioned that he had gotten clean and was working a new job and seemed to be doing well. But of course, since this episode was filmed over 3 years ago, I have no idea if that still holds true. However, even if Max is completely innocent, I can understand his desire to stay out of the spotlight, because his father's disappearance pretty much caused all of his personal issues to be aired publicly, and that would be a difficult thing to handle, especially if you're trying to maintain your sobriety. But let's try to break down Max's role in this whole affair. One detail I find curious is how Max took out the family's Volkswagen Golf while his father was mowing the lawn. Max claimed that by the time he returned home that night, Hoagie was gone. We do have a neighbor who verified that they saw Hoagie and Max speaking together in the yard, but what's unclear is if they actually saw Max leave. Because I have to say, given how Hoagie had previously locked the two laptops in the Golf inside the garage in order to prevent his son from stealing them, yet Max managed to grab the keys and take the vehicle away, leading to the confrontation at the factory in Bridgeport, it seems a bit odd that Hoagie would have no issues with Max going off alone with the car that morning. I don't believe it's ever been revealed where exactly Max was during those hours he was supposedly gone, but whatever he told police, it doesn't seem like they found him to be untruthful. I can see why people might suspect Max of killing his father, because if he took him by complete surprise, this would explain the lack of forced entry or any sign of struggle at the house. But much like the van which Max's associates drove, the police performed a forensic examination of the Golf and found no evidence to suggest that it may have been used to transport a body or cover up a crime. If Max committed murder, then he would have had to do one hell of a convincing job at fooling investigators. But even if Max wasn't directly involved in Hoagie's disappearance, I still wonder if there might be more he isn't telling. I think the one detail which might be the key to figuring out what happened is the $600 which Hoagie withdrew from his bank account. Even if it wasn't being used for the purpose of disappearing and starting a new life, it's still quite a bit of cash to be withdrawn all at once, so what was it intended to be used for? Well, anything's possible when you're dealing with a loved one who has a drug addiction. It's possible that Hoagie was thinking of using this money to buy back the stolen laptops, but if the guys from Bridgeport legitimately did not have them in their possession, then the money never changed hands. I do admit to being skeptical of Max's story about hiding the computers inside the building before they suddenly went missing, but maybe someone legitimately stole them while he was gone. We're talking about a guy who was selling scrap metal from abandoned buildings in order to feed his drug habit, which is a surefire sign of desperation. So could it be possible that Max pawned off the laptops to someone else and finally came clean to his father after the confrontation with the two associates? Maybe Hoagie withdrew the $600 to buy them back or retrieve them from a pawn shop somewhere, but things never got to that point, so Hoagie kept the money inside his safe at home to ensure Max wouldn't steal it. Or perhaps the $600 was intended for something else entirely, such as paying off a drug debt that Max owed. These people could have showed up at Hoagie's house to collect the money, but something went horribly wrong, and he was killed. If this occurred while Max was gone from the residence, then maybe he legitimately did not know about it, which is why he came across as truthful when he was questioned by police. But then, if Max owed a drug debt to some dangerous people, it's surprising this wouldn't have come out during the investigation. I don't know, nothing about this case makes any sense to me. Overall, I have to say that I completely split between Hoagie being a victim of foul play and wandering off somewhere to commit suicide. I think I lean slightly more towards the foul play theory, but I really don't think there's enough definitive evidence to point in either direction, and I can't help but wonder if there's a big piece of the puzzle missing here. If Max ever decided to do interviews someday and share his side of the story, it might be easier to gauge whether his issues could have played a role in his father's disappearance, but investigators have publicly expressed their belief that they currently have no reason to believe he's involved. The problem is that it's hard to figure out who else would have had a motive to harm Hoagie, but if Max is completely innocent, then I can only imagine the torment he must feel. I guess the best case scenario is that Hoagie did take off to start a new life and might suddenly turn up alive somewhere. Since there's been no trace of him for over 6 years, I don't have much hope of that, but anything's possible, I guess. So if you happen to have any information on the disappearance of Robert Hoagland, please contact the Newtown Police Department at 203-426-5841. That's 203-426-5841. But if you just have your own thoughts about what happened, feel free to leave me a comment or send me an email to robin.warder@icloud.com. That's robin.warder@icloud.com. Another reminder that The Trail Went Cold is on Patreon, so please visit patreon.com/thetrailwentcold to learn how you can support our podcast and become eligible for some pretty neat rewards. We produced a bunch of exclusive bonus episodes for our patrons in tiers 2 and 3, and this past month, we released a spooky Halloween-themed episode about the Ghost Blimp, the baffling story of two Navy pilots who vanished without a trace from a blimp while it was mid-flight during World War II. And for our patrons in Tier 3, I've also recorded another new audio commentary track, which can be played over a classic episode of Unsolved Mysteries. So to learn more information, feel free to visit our Patreon page. I'd also like to take a moment to give a shout-out to our most recent listeners who have signed up with us on Patreon this week, and they are Jeanette N., Steph, Jody H., Carol, and the Zion's Lost Podcast. Thank you all so much for your support. Also, just wanted to give another shout-out to my supporters at the Unsolved Mysteries message board at the Sitcoms Online forum and the Unresolved Mysteries subreddit. I need to provide a big thanks to McGill Foote, who edits and assembles this podcast together for me, and Vince Nitro, who composes the eerie music you hear on every episode. If you haven't already, you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or leave us a rating or review on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or Spotify. So have yourself a good week and join us next Wednesday for another brand new episode of The Trail Went Cold. ¶¶